Don't you know we're talking about a revolution sounds like a whisper. Don't you know we're talking about a revolution sounds like a whisper. While they're standing in the welfare lines, crying at the doorsteps of those armies of salvation, wasting time in the unemployment lines, sitting around waiting for a promotion. Don't you know, talking about a revolution sounds. Poor people gonna rise up and get their share. Poor people gonna rise up and take what's there. Don't you know you better run, 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 run. Oh, I said you better run, 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 run. Cause finally the tables are starting to turn. Talking about the revolution.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the French Connections Friday edition. Today's date is the 18th day of August 2006. Of course, my name is Daryl Bradford Smith, and I would like to welcome you here to this French Connection edition here, this political movement's explanation, listened to by people all over the world, including the bad guys, ladies and gentlemen. We are very popular with the bad guys. They tune us in regularly. And what's been happening in the world, of course, pressure's getting turned up on people of trying to block their efforts to take over everything. And, of course, there are people within this so-called truth movement, and you know who they are coming out and saying that the efforts of Christopher Bolin and the things that he's doing are a bunch of lies and this and that. It's just astonishing that they would say this, but I won't go into who they are. You can find out who they are just by reading the chatter on the chat rooms. But I listened to the broadcast they did, and I almost vomited. These are how much do they have to do before you know what we've been telling you forever? how far do they have to go? In fact, the same people called me a crypto Jew. Now that would really cramp the style of Edna Smith, my grandma, and Frederick Smith, who were lifelong Catholics, and my family members on the Protestant side, they went all the way back to the Mayflower, and I can prove all that, by the way. So, calling me a crypto Jew, that was another reach. Now, if you want to check the person I'm talking about's name against the Jewish list, you'll find out that they came from Prague, and they probably are crypto Zionists, and you'll know from, how do we know people are doing that sort of behavior? Well, we know by their behavior, by what they do and how they destroy credibility between groups and people, and then how they usurp and try to take over certain subjects when they see that the subject is getting traction. You know, somebody's coming out against Zionism, and then they have a deep association with a video that's being put out that has Zionism denial as its main tenet. You have to wonder, what's going on here. I mean, if you're going to promote loose change as a program, I mean, I got a problem with anybody doing that, because loose change, admittedly by Bemis and the rest of these cretins over there, said that they don't think Israel has anything to do with any of it. Now, again, you know, Israel is not the only Zionist place in the world. Of course, we know who the Zionists are. We know the Honig family. We know the Warburgs and the Kahns and Loebs, and we know Mark Rich, and we know Lowy, and we know Lauder, and we know all of the different fans, Silverstein, and we know the people in, you know, the Rothschilds and the Levies, and even in England, the Lord Levy, a huge Zionist criminal. And, I mean, you take a look at this, and we know who they are, and not all of them live in Israel. So the fact is, the Zionists are spread throughout the globe. They've just used that as their hole-in-the-wall safe haven, as it were. You remember the story back in the old Wild West? They had a place in, I think it was in Arkansas. Maybe I'm wrong. Somebody can fix this detail with me. They had a place called the Hole-in-the-Wall Gang. It was a place where all the criminals could hide out, and they were, you know, that's where Jesse James used to hang out and everything. Well, Israel is the modern-day hole-in-the-wall, ladies and gentlemen, where criminals can commit crimes in Europe and America, run off with $60 million, no extradition, sit there and be immune from any prosecution, any problems. They can run their computer scams from the place. They can do their white slavery from the place. They can organize their pornography operations from the place. They can organize their drug running from South America, from Afghanistan, and all in the safety of their own little place, their own little country. And so the simple fact of the matter is Zionism is not just an Israeli location. It is a worldwide location. Just take a look in Brooklyn if you want to know how thick Zionism is getting with the old Chabad Lubavitchers over there, Chabad Lubavitch or however you say that, a nonsensical organization over there. These people are you know, the most virulent, cancerous form of Zionism, and they are in Brooklyn, New York. That is their home. That is their main place. So what we need to understand about Zionism, it's not just an Israeli issue, it's a worldwide issue. They've got their camps in including China and, you know, places in France and at Villeurbanne in France, a big city in near Lyon, full of Hasidic Zionists. And there is no country in our Western world, at least, that is not immune from these people. And if you take a look at the media in each of these countries, including the Nordic countries, you'll find that they're bought and paid for. Their media is wound up, and their countries are controlled by the elites with their big pocketbooks and their big wallets and their ability to spread money around and buy people to do bad deeds for them. And these are the things we face. Now, telling this kind of truth, it fits well if you're going to be a truth teller. But then when you promote a video on your website that denies this thing exists, somebody's got to start questioning your motives here. And then when you start finding out people that are associated with him, and I'm going to name a name here, this guy Mark Glenn, working with the white supremacist groups that I know are from Southern Poverty Law. I know they're from Mars D's. I know their APEC founders put those organizations together to foment hatred and anger toward different races so that these Jewish groups would have a reason, a raison d'être, a reason to be. They've got to create hatred to say that, see, this is what we're fighting against, ladies and gentlemen. We need laws to stop free speech because free speech sometimes is hateful. You see, we're this poor Jewish organization here, and everyone hates us, and they want to hurt us, but they're just evil people that want this. Well, they create that hatred, and they create that pot stirring. And you know, you see, I had this guy writing me all kinds of emails about the whites having this right and that right. It turns out, and I didn't know this, it turns out the gentleman is not even from European Caucasian stock, so he's a Lebanese American. Now, a Lebanese-American, I have lots of friends from the Lebanese-American community, but they're not claiming to be working with white supremacists either. So, hey, you got to ask these questions, guys. And, you know, maybe Reuven Shosin running around for his, you know, fearing for his life, had it right about this guy Korn, this guy Michael Korn, who changed his name from, you know, from some, I don't know what his name was, but it's an Ashkenazi name. I know that, and he found Christianity, but he runs around writing articles that defend Judaism and saying it's a Judeo-Christian world and things of this nature. No, ladies and gentlemen, Judaism and Christianity have been at polar opposites throughout history, only until recently. And to try to sell that to the public today and try to say that we're one and the same and that, you know, the Jews see the world in the good Jews see the world in similar ways as Christians is not so if you look at history. Those facts aren't bore out by reading history. So, you know, what are you saying over there, Mr. Korn? And what are you saying over there, Mr. Glenn? And who do you contact over there at Southern Poverty Law? Do they come to your parties or what? Well, you know, and then who's associated with all of them over there? And who's trying to come out and slander Christopher Bolin? Who? Well, do the math. Check it out. Figure it out. You know, we do the homework over here. We know who the bad guys are, and we just don't say, it's not the Mossad. It's not this. This is what we got the other day from these two crypto Jews over here on this other network that has been, you know, peeing on everybody's leg forever without substance. They pee on your leg, and then they call you up and tell you they want to be friends. Come on my show. Please, Daryl, come on the show so I can pee on your leg again. It's unbelievable. Boy. But then, you know, they start slandering my friends. They start slandering my compatriots and people I'm working with and people that are supporting the facts as I've discovered them. And you know what? That won't work with me. It doesn't wash with me, ladies and gentlemen. So I'm coming out swinging on this issue. These people have to be marginalized. They have to be outed as what they are. Go read some stuff about them on Opposing Digits. Go read some stuff about these people. They have been what we call in French, foutus de merde. Translate that and you'll know what it means. It's an astonishing fact, and I, you know what, I see this stuff very clearly because I'm in the middle of the crap storm that goes on between all this stuff, and I know the facts. I've got a very good education in these situations, and I've got a sense for what happens around me. You know, after a while, you start knowing what goes on because you're in it. You know it. You can sense it. Enough said about that. It is my guess that these people are very desperate, and I see that from their actions. I see it from their most recent attempt at trying to convince the European and American audiences that there was an actual terrorist attack, when in fact we know that was just a staged event. It was fabricated, lock, stock, and barrel. I mean, come on, there were eight or ten people on their original list of criminals who didn't even have passports, ladies and gentlemen. How are they going to get on a plane and bring down 20 airliners over the Atlantic and they didn't even have a passport? They had never, ever inquired about a plane ticket. This is a lie. It's nonsense. And they put it together so badly, they didn't even bother to get these young Muslims the proper documents to set them up with. You would expect that they could have gone at least and done their homework and got them a passport at least. Come on, guys. MI5 or MI6, whichever group did this nonsense, and the Mossad, come on, guys. Come on, I thought you guys were professional. You could do better than that. My goodness. You know, and I'm taking a look at this, and I'm saying to myself, okay, why is the public buying this? Well, fact is, they're not. And by and large, I mean, I even had a family member call up and say, Daryl, that terrorist stuff was nonsense, wasn't it? And this is a guy that doesn't go on the Internet. This is somebody just from the walk-a-day world here. And he's sitting there saying to me, you know, this is not true, is it? I smell a rat here. And I said, no, Robert, it's a lie. It's bull. And he's like, I knew it. And I said, well, you and everybody else are starting to know it. Cry wolf enough times. Cry, and all of a sudden people are going, this doesn't add up, ladies and gentlemen. And it doesn't add up. It does not add up. So what it is it's displaying their desperation is what you're getting here. You're seeing that they're groping, they're reaching. And they also know that a real attack at this point, if they put one together, is going to be blamed on them as well. Because too many people know that they did 9/11. Too many. So they know the next one is going to be done by them too. And this could be the straw that breaks the camel's back. This could be the one that gets the public outraged enough to storm the Bastille. And if that happens, you know, you're going to see these people running like cockroaches, and they're all going to run over to Israel for their protection because they're all dual citizens, and then sit under the 200 to 300 nuclear bomb umbrella that Israel is going to afford them. And of course, Germany has sold Israel three separate submarines that have ballistic missile capabilities. These people have another one that we gave them, so they've got four missile subs. And I'm sure that they've got Trident technology on those missiles. I'm sure of it. Why? Because they've been stealing our military secrets forever. So if they get a couple of Trident missiles on there with multiple warheads and they're sitting out in the water and we say, all right, we're going to get rid of these Israelis once and for all and invade them, they could take out New York, Chicago, Los Angeles, who knows, Paris, London. You know, and these are some of the choices we may soon face because these people are going to be brought to justice. There's no doubt about it. They're coming down. The analogy I make with being a pickle, you know, and everybody laughs about that, in fact, because I get emails about it. Look, you know, we were all walking around like a bunch of cucumbers, and all of a sudden we got turned to a pickle from the information, and now you can't change us back, ladies and gentlemen. We will never go back to being blinded by their lies. And now we know their modus operandi, we know the way they work, we know the way they lie to us, and we're starting to find out the depth of their criminality. And as all of these things become more and more clear to more and more people, we're always gaining strength, never losing. These people are never becoming stronger. They're becoming weaker with every moment that passes. And the fact is, the only choices they have left are to act irrationally. And with their hubris and irrational activity, I'm just waiting for them to make the ultimate mistake of showing their full hand. And that is going to bring outrage in so many quarters around the world that it may be their complete undoing. And it could happen sooner than people think. You know, I for one know that there are millions of people that know this truth now, millions. It isn't like, and I've said this before, when Eric and I started working on this Zionist issue, I Googled Zionism, and this was 11, going on 12 months ago. It started in August, actually, so it's 12 months. There was 1,700 hits for the word Zionism. When you Google it today, there are 9.5 million last count. So do you want to know what kind of exponential growth in understanding who the real bad guys are that means? Do the math, ladies and gentlemen. Put 9.5 million over 1,700 and find out what percentage of growth we got there. And this is only the beginning because the whole world is waking up to them. And they screwed up. They went into Lebanon and made it worse for themselves. How stupid do you have to be? But you know, I don't want to make it sound like this is you know, something that is a positive thing, because nothing was positive about seeing those children and women and people dislodged from their homes. I was horrified by it. But I got news for all of you. That's going to visit each and every one of you if we don't stand up and fight them. That's coming for everybody. Yeah, they don't want you fighting back, and if they think for one second you're going to be next, trust me. So you need to get on board with fighting even more vigorously. You need to tell people more about this. And I'm going to tell you something. That neighbor that looked at you, smirked and was disgusted by your approach last time may not be today. In fact, he may be wanting you to reapproach him because he's actually started seeing just how heinous and how sick these people really are. And he might be very, very receptive to facts today. Because what's happened is that those rose-colored glasses have been removed from a lot of people's eyes. And now they're starting to see the facts as they really are. And you might want to reapproach a lot of people who turned you down last time, because you might find out they're more receptive than you think. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. You know, this whole battle that we've been facing is a battle for the future of humanity. And it's a decision we all have to make of what kind of life we want to leave our children. I don't want to leave my children the world as it stands right now. I don't want to leave them where a Zionist-influenced socialist structure is involved in my life, deciding every nuance of my decision-making and telling me how I have to live and how I have to breathe and where I have to, you know, put everything in my world and have them be so much in my life that they're coming onto my private property and telling me how I can use it and how I can't and how I can have my house and how I can't. And it just stinks to me of social engineering that borders on intolerable. And you know, Europe, my goodness, but America too. Everyone seems to think that America hasn't gone socialist. You're all deluded. Look at the budget for the government. Look at the laws and the controls. If you own a piece of property, try to go make a decision on your own with it. See if you can get away with it. See if you've got any personal individual rights anymore. They can condemn your property and sell it and put up a shopping mall and not even worry for 5 seconds what they've just done to you. Well, you know, these are the kinds of things that they've been able to get away with, and it's just, you know, it's just indicative of where we really have arrived at. And I got to tell you all, I want this reversed. I want a constitutional republic returned to America. Not a democracy. Democracy is a sickness. It is a necessary step to tyranny, is what it is. Don't think that democracy is going to fix any of this, because the people are not capable of making democratic decisions in the best interest of a society. That's why a constitution is absolutely imperative. And we have a republic where a constitution is the first line of defense against tyranny. And that democracy comes as an addendum to those principles. And somehow this ass potato George Bush running around saying he's going to whip democracy on people, what he's really saying is, ladies and gentlemen, I'm whipping my control grid on this, on you people, and I'm whipping a democracy that is really tyranny. Because that's exactly what it is. Make no mistake about it, we are in desperate times. Someone asked me the other day about, you know, why do I put religious people on? Well, so many people in this world see their world through the religion that they're adherent to. They see it through Judaism, they see it through Christianity, or they're Muslims, or they're Sikhs, or Hindus, or whatever they are. And of course, that, by its very design, changes how you interpret the information you receive. It changes it. And you could have 10 people from 10 different world religions listen to the exact same thing and interpret it 10 different ways. Why? Because they've got this thing called a filter, a religious filter in their brains. And I try to unravel the different opinions from different sects of religion so that people can actually filter out the nonsense and actually filter in the facts as they stand. Now, does that mean that all Jews need to be removed from our societies? No, because there are a lot of people out there who are rank and file human beings who go to their job every day. They run a small store. They do some tailor work or whatever it is. And I know a lot of wonderful Jewish families. I'm sitting in front of a photograph of a young boy who's handicapped that I absolutely adore, and his name's Ariel, and I love him, and he's Jewish, and I mean, this has nothing to do with this young man. There's a lot of people out there who are absolutely oblivious to the crimes that are being committed in their name. And so, please, understand the difference between a Zionist and a Jewish person, because it is imperative. If you hate all people because of their Jewish roots, that is, in fact, hate. If you hate criminals for their Zionist acts, that's self-preservation. They're very different things. And make sure you don't make the mistake of mixing one with the other. Because what you'll be really getting there is hatred. And I don't sign on to anything that has hatred involved in it. It's not my way. It's not the way it should be. It is immoral. Don't act immorally. Act righteously. Act above the way these cretins act in our world. And do this with a morality that is going to carry us through to victory. Because that's the real basis of victory. You can't have a victory that is sweet without a moral base to the things you're doing. That's just the way life is. Just the way it is. You know, I didn't come upon that realization by accident. I came upon that realization from trial and error in my own life. You can't do things that are injurious to yourself or others and expect yourself to land in a sweet spot in your life. It won't work. So don't go around hating people just because they adhere to a certain religion. Hate them for the acts they're committing and hate them for the associations they're making. And be understanding that they may have been lied to as you were. Think back about when you woke up 5 months ago, 6 months ago. Well, maybe they're just waking up, or maybe they still need to be shown the truth. But that doesn't make them criminals. That doesn't make them part of the Zionist crime. And there are over 40 million Zionist Christians in the world, 28 million of them in America. They also need to be shown the truth. And that's why I also bring wonderful spokespeople like Ted Pike on, because we need to communicate past the barrier that goes into their community and explain to them they've been lied to terribly. And they're actually going out into the world and helping criminals to murder and enslave and plunder our planet. And that I say to all of you, shame on you, because shame is a good thing. You should be ashamed of yourself for not looking further into these facts and understanding how they really are. Because what you're supporting is, in some cases, genocide. In other cases, outright torturous environments. You're supporting a war against a people who had never done a single thing to our country. Never. Never. And there's still 50% of you claiming that WMDs are in Iraq and that the invasion of Iraq was a good idea? Come on, what's the matter with you people? You've got too much fluoride in your brain. Stop drinking the water that's owned by the Rothschild family. U.S. filter. Check it out. Vivendi Water. Suez Lyonnais des Eaux. There's a reason why the Rothschilds bought up all the water systems in the world. Maybe it's a good way to deliver poison to people. Look into it. Anyway, that's to the rant for Friday. I think it's important that, you know, these things get talked about. We are getting traction, ladies and gentlemen. We're beating them. We're beating the tar out of them. They don't know what to do. They're reeling. Even the voices of their lying minions in this alternative press group are being outed. Isn't it wonderful? They're groping now. You know, the bad guys, we identified them months and months ago, and they are just exposing themselves more and more. Anyway. This is the Friday edition of the French Connection. I'm glad you were all with me today. I will be doing, of course, more interviews very soon. And until that time, ladies and gentlemen, bye-bye now. Be well.